So Lawrence English, I want to talk about Lawrence English. He's a composer, he's a media artist, and he's a curator. But I've got to say that those terms don't actually even come close to describing the nature of his complex and thoughtful works that combine sound, music, and much more, all in a way that feels like it's designed to make us contemplate the very nature of listening and what it means for our understanding of the world at large. Now, if you're keen to experience this for yourself, and I heartily recommend that you do, he's in town for two events, Soft Center at the Casula Powerhouse, and he's also involved with the quite powerful This Is a Voice. It's an exhibition that looks at the power of human voice before and beyond words. It's on at the Other Powerhouse, which is the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences in Pyrmont. Lawrence, a very good morning to you.
I've just realised there's a double powerhouse thing happening. That had not dawned on me yet, but there it is.
There's so much power.
The energy.
It's and look, so much
it's
energy.
It's timely, let's face it. There's a lot of political discussion around energy in the future and powerhouses. So, you know, maybe art can occupy the powerhouse as the way forward. Forget keeping coal power going. Art, all the way.
Art power.
Yeah, art power. Beautiful. Feels so sort of late 60s.
It does sound it. I feel like it should be on a nice tea towel pinned up on the fridge.
Look, I reckon you could extend it to a shirt. It's not, you know, as Mel Brooks once said, you know, merchandising is where the sort of money of the movies is made. I think that also works for music and art. So,
follow Mel's
great kind of sentiment.
Let's jump back one second and talk Soft Center. Now, that's the one that's on at the Casula Powerhouse. I know it's taking inspiration from sort of like Unsound, I think Berlin Atonal, Nordberg Festival. Does Australia have a bit of a culture of encouraging this sort of artistic experimentation, or is this a bit novel for us?
Oh, no. I think actually Soft Center sort of taps into, I mean, I guess it's occupying a particular kind of aesthetic vision, which I think is really good. You know, the thing that I really admire about festivals like Soft Center is that there is this very strong curatorial sensibility that means that if people come out, they're getting a wide array of work, but the work speaks to each other, you know, so everyone performing kind of has a dialogue between themselves. And I think that's actually, to me, the real pleasure in going to a festival like that. But, you know, we have a really strong history in Sydney. In fact, you know, I guess it's probably almost 20 years ago now. What Is Music Festival started with Robbie Avinane and Oren Embarchi. And from there, there was Liquid Architecture, which kind of, I guess, was a more experimental music festival that's become a more kind of conceptual festival. And then there are lots of other programs across the year. I mean, Room 40 has been running the Open Frame Festival, which happens at Carriage Works and just happened this year in June, for I think probably 12 or 14 years now. So there's a long history here, but it's important that we see things like Soft Center getting up and using spaces. It's a really, for me, it's definitely one of the more interesting, festivals that's kind of cropped up in a while, just because, you know, these guys are young, they're really motivated. And they're working with a space. I mean, the powerhouse, it's an amazing space to work with. It's interesting. It's for people to head out there. I think there's this sort of a little bit of, you know, suburban adventuring to be had. You can enjoy the powerhouse, the Sydney rail system, amongst other things. So, I think it's actually a really interesting kind of model to go with.
I think it is too, and I think Powerhouse have been doing some fascinating stuff, and you're right, pop that bubble, get out to those sort of areas, you know, it's 60 minutes on a train, and I believe they've also put on chartered buses if you need them as well,
yeah.
So it's not too hard. Talk Room 40 for a second, because you've been running that for, what, 17 years or something?
Yeah, 17 years, which is always, you know, sobering. When I think about the young and naive me and now the old jaded me, you know, look, I have to say it's been a great pleasure and I still derive a great deal of enjoyment out of what Room 40 does. I mean, it does a range of things from sort of releasing music and books and DVDs and, well, you know, to get media specific, I suppose, format specific. I don't know if DVD is still a format. You know, we do that and then obviously we run things like Open Frame. We have a number of sort of performance series. There's one in Melbourne. There's one up here in Brisbane, the Institute of Modern Art. And then we kind of, I guess it's always been about reaching out to the rest of the world because, you know, certainly when the label started, which was, you know, towards the end of the late 90s, we were really sort of thinking about it. Australia was a very long way away. I mean, the internet had arrived, but not everyone had an email address yet. Hotmail was still owned by Hotmail and not Microsoft. You know, it was the early days. The GeoCities was a thing, you know. So it was really quite still isolated, but I think that's definitely changed. But I think rather than it being isolated now, I think what's really important is to recognize that it's still quite a way to travel for us. Like, to get out to the rest of the world can be quite difficult and not economically possible for a lot of people to do it. So I think it's still very important to build those international networks to have people come here, so there are those chances for meetings that spur on different kinds of projects and things. And, you know, I'm very much the happy face of that. I've had the opportunity to meet some amazing artists that have been incredibly generous to me over the last sort of 17 years. And some of them become, you know, now my very dear friends, that they may have been collaborators initially, but now I'm my good friends. And I think that's one of the hugely valuable things about art and music, is that there is that interpersonal community. And actually, that's pretty much what I'm going to sort of talk about a little bit tomorrow at the Soft Center. The piece that I'm performing, Cruel Optimism, is very much about this kind of solidarity that sound offers, this opportunity to come together, to have community, to be with people that, you know, everyone's going to experience the concert differently. You know, everyone's set of ears is going to give them a different, their body's going to feel different in the concert. But there's this shared time and place that we have together that kind of unites us. And I think that's a really powerful thing to kind of explore with performance.
It is incredibly powerful. And, you know, what you were saying about the late 90s, almost that early noughties period, you know, I was working on an internet magazine, believe it or not, at the time.
Wow.
And, you know, it was this time period that was encouraging art and encouraging experimentation. I was working with a lot of electronic musicians and, you know, there was something about that connectivity and that community that was encouraging art like no other time I could think of.
It was a very interesting time because it was transitory, you know, and I think we're still, actually, to be honest, I really feel like this year, and this is maybe more a kind of political meditation than an artistic one, but I think we're in a similar kind of transitory period. You know, there was a lot of challenge and stuff at the end of the 90s. There was a lot of hope as well. I think maybe the hope's a little bit harder to find right now, but it kind of has the same, I think there's a lot of energy out there when you talk to people making work and to audiences. Coming to see, whether it be an exhibition or to listen to sound, you know, there is a real vigor and excitement and hunger to make things happen. And there's this kind of, I feel like there's a bit of a return to a DIY aesthetic. And Soft Center is a good example of that in a lot of respects. So I really think that's important and valuable, because I think that's the thing, like during that period in the 90s and the 2000s, you really just had to do it yourself. There was no other way to make something happen. If you wanted to get someone down here, you found a way to make it happen. And maybe it took 2 years, but that was an investment where you learned a lot of stuff about how you can make something great happen.
Look, let's quickly talk about This Is a Voice before we run out of time. Look, I know the exhibition, it's wide-reaching, but kind of really looks at the way the voice is, I guess, fundamentally connected to identity and even what it means to be human. I feel like that sort of idea of identity comes up a lot in your work.
Yeah, I mean, look, I believe very strongly that, you know, you're always becoming. I'm a follower of that idea of identity, that it's fluid, that it's always changing, that you're not the same person. I mean, the person I was when I was 15 and 25 and now, the completely different individual. Like, I mean, not just biologically different, but psychologically a completely different kind of person, interested in different kinds of things. I mean, some of those things linger inside you. They're the core kind of elements, but really, we're constantly being transformed. So I think for me, with the pieces that I did for This Is a Voice, I mean, one of them is very much a kind of meditation on that. You know, people's choir, this idea that people contribute the voice, their voice, to this sort of, they've described it as a sound chandelier. It's basically a three-tiered distribution system of speakers. And you can stand underneath that and feel these voices raining down upon you. And it's people's aspirations and desires and dreams that they're, you know, kind of encouraged to share. And some of them are incredibly intimate and personal, and there's something about the anonymity of that, but also the aspiration that we all want change. We all want things to be, we want possible futures, better possible futures to be realized. So the work very much kind of encourages that. And then the other piece, Utterance, which is a kind of more of a static work, is really sort of a meditation on how certain kinds of words, once we articulate them, you know, you can read a word on a page, but until you speak that word, until you articulate it yourself, there's a kind of disconnection there, I think. And once you say a word and start to own once you apply your voice to it, you begin to exert some kind of power over that word and can take control of it. And I think that was part of what I was interested in exploring with that piece, was basically allowing people to take control of things that may otherwise sit just to the, you know, just beyond their reach, you know, very simple. They were quite political words, I guess you'd say, but words that had value. And I really wanted to kind of give people the opportunity to invest themselves in that process.
Well, they're both very powerful pieces. The exhibition is running right through until January next year. I'm so sad that we have to leave it right now. Lawrence English, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Nick. Have a great day.
Have a great trip to Sydney. You can catch Lawrence at Soft Centre this weekend. Details are up on 2SER.com. It's going to be an incredible gig at Casula Powerhouse.